Welcome to the deep dive. So for those of you following along with us, you'll know we're deep into stage three of the RAFT program. It's the stage called freedom. And it's all about becoming aware of these inner weather patterns, right? Mm-hmm. The ones that just cloud everything up. The RAFT program calls them the five hazards.
That's right. And this stage is really where the rubber meets the road. The whole RAFT framework, recognize, abandon, freedom, and train. It's all a structure for helping stabilize the mind. You're moving past just, you know, seeing these destructive habits to actually dissolving the compulsions that keep you feeling stuck.
And today we're on the last one, the final, and I think for many people, the most frustrating of the five hazards. It's immobilizing doubt, or vichikicca. And it's just so sneaky, isn't it? It's not like craving, which pulls you towards something, or ill will, which pushes you away. This one just, well, slams on the brakes for your entire life.
It's a total mental paralysis. It just uncouples you from your own conviction. And what's really fascinating is where the RAFT program says it comes from. See, craving and ill will, they're driven by a kind of energy, but immobilizing doubt, its root is pure delusion, one of the three unwholesome roots. It's just a fundamental lack of clear seeing. So if the other hazards are pushing and pulling you around, doubt is, it's passive. It just stalls the whole journey. It leaves you totally suspended.
I always find the imagery that Gautama, the Buddha, used for these hazards is so powerful. It really sticks with you. For this one, he gave this classic simile. Doubt is like murky water, you know, clouded, turbid. If you're looking into a muddy pond, you can't see the bottom. You can't see what's down there. So, of course, you're hesitant to step in. You just can't see where you're going.
Yeah, and it becomes this faulty compass that's just spinning and spinning. And that leads to this overwhelming fear that you're going to move in the wrong direction. Hmm. Which brings us to what's really at stake here. I mean, it's annoying when it shows up in meditation, sure. But the RAFT program is very clear that its impact off the cushion is where the real danger is.
How so? What makes it so much more dangerous in day-to-day life?
Because it leads to a complete failure of executive function. We're not talking about a small delay. This hazard can lead to years, even decades of regret, because the mind simply avoided making any kind of committed move at all. You trick yourself into thinking all that hesitation, all that research is actually wisdom. But really, you're just standing still, waiting for some perfect moment that never arrives.
Okay, that immediately hits home. I think we all know that feeling. You're so overwhelmed by a big decision that you just retreat. You do nothing.
Yeah.
So let's unpack this paralysis. We really have to be able to tell the difference between a good, healthy question and one that's being, well, weaponized against ourselves.
That distinction is absolutely crucial. We are not talking about what you'd call skillful doubt. You know, that healthy, skeptical inquiry that actually fuels curiosity. That's a good thing.
Right. That's the engine of science, of critical thinking. We need that.
Exactly. What we're discussing here is immobilizing doubt. And this is debilitating. It is paralyzing. It doesn't lead to a question that you can find an answer to and then move on. It leads to questions that just get rehearsed over and over. It's the same loop playing in your head.
And the RAFT program suggests this actually starts out as some kind of protective mechanism, doesn't it? Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yes. The mind is very clever. It learns to use uncertainty as a kind of shield. And it's trying to avoid, really, three main things. The discomfort of making a mistake. First, then the sting of disappointment if things don't work out, and maybe most importantly, the weight of taking responsibility for the outcome. If you never commit, you can never fail. If you never actually choose a path, you never have to face the consequences of a bad choice. It's just evasion, but it's disguised as being careful, as being prudent.
That really rings true, especially when the stakes feel high, like with a career change or a really difficult conversation you need to have. That uncertainty becomes a very comfortable place to hide psychologically.
And that hiding is what the program calls the perpetual postponement hazard. The real danger is you get into this practice of endlessly gathering more information. You're waiting for conditions to be perfect, for the market to be just right, or you'll seek out just one more opinion, read one more book, and this habit just quietly destroys everything. Relationships, work, your own ethical growth.
Which is where this gets so relevant for us today. You can draw a straight line from that to what the program calls the information fog of our digital lives. We don't just have our own internal doubt to deal with. We have this constant gale of conflicting information blowing at us from all sides.
Oh, absolutely. The modern world is the perfect breeding ground for this hazard. We get into what is basically productive procrastination. I mean, think about it. You know you want to start a consistent practice. Maybe it's exercise or meditation or some kind of ethical commitment. But instead of just starting, you spend hours, hours researching the perfect workout plan, the ideal meditation app, the most efficient possible system.
So you're busy. You feel like you're being productive, but you haven't taken that first actual step. You're trading the vulnerability of starting for the comfort of research.
That's the mechanism right there. That research gives you a little psychological reward. It's a pat on the back for successfully avoiding the real discomfort of beginning. You're busy looking at maps, reorganizing the supplies on the ship, but you're never actually raising the sail to catch the wind. You stay safely stuck in port, telling yourself you're getting ready to sail next week, or next month, or next year.
So when this immobilizing doubt kicks in, the RAF program says it tends to fixate on three main targets. Which of these is the one that really trips people up the most?
Well, the three are all pretty common. The first one is doubt about the path itself, the teachings, you know, that big question. Does this practice actually work? Does it lead anywhere?
The meta-doubt.
Precisely.
Huh.
The second is doubt about the guides or the teachers. Can I trust this person? Is this source reliable? But the third one.
Yeah.
The third one is the real momentum killer. It's the most common and by far the most paralyzing form. Doubt about your own personal capacity.
Ah, the internal saboteur. Do I have what it takes? Boys, am I too broken, too old, too busy? Am I just too flawed for this to ever work for me?
Yes, and that voice is constantly undermining you, but it sounds like it's giving you prudent advice. It whispers, just wait until you feel better, or wait until you have more time, or the classic, this might work for other people, but you're different. And when that self-doubt really takes hold, the internal compass just spins wildly. You're frozen, which is why this hazard is so potent. It doesn't just block one choice. It blocks the very possibility of growth.
Okay, so we've diagnosed the problem. It's this state of paralysis, and it's fueled by this endless delaying search for, what, intellectual certainty. So the big question now is, if the mind keeps demanding absolute proof before it's willing to act, how do you ever move? How do you build trust in that compass when you don't have all the answers?
And that is where the RAFT program makes a really major shift, both philosophically and practically. This brings us to steering with lived evidence. The core remedy, the way out, is to understand that immobilizing doubt is overcome when you shift your reliance away from intellectual certainty and toward experiential evidence.
So you're not trying to think your way out of doubt or argue with it. You're trying to act your way out of it.
You have to test it directly instead of asking endlessly. It's like you can read every book ever written about what a mango tastes like. You can know all the details of its sweetness, its texture, but until you actually take a bite, you don't know the mango. The evidence has to be lived.
That makes so much sense. That shift from just theorizing to actually testing sounds, well, it sounds incredibly freeing, but also maybe a little scary. That must require some element of trust to begin with.
It does. And that trust, that movement, is supported by the other strengths you've already been working on. This is where the five defenders come in. Qualities like energy and concentration, which were covered in earlier chapters of the program. But the central antidote to doubt is confidence. Conviction.
And we're not talking about confidence as some sort of inflated ego, right? It's more like a grounded willingness to act based on the small bits of evidence you've already collected for yourself. Restoring trust in your ability to just proceed, even when things are uncertain.
Absolutely. Confidence is what restores momentum. And it works hand in hand with another one of the defenders, which is discernment. Discernment is what helps you tell the difference between a useful question that could lead to an answer and that spiraling, paralyzing confusion that is the hazard itself. Discernment is like the filter. It's the part of you that asks, wait a minute, haven't I asked myself the same question 100 times without ever acting on the answer?
I really appreciate how the whole RAFT program frames this. It's not just about stopping the bad stuff. It's about actively nurturing the good qualities that naturally push back against them.
That's key. And it connects directly to the 7 supports of awakening, which we'll be getting into in later deep dives. But specifically, a quality like joyful effort is a huge help against doubt. When doubt makes everything feel heavy and sluggish, if you can introduce even a little lighthearted, engaged effort, it re-engages your sense of purpose and direction.
So if the doubting mind is always demanding, prove it to me first and then I'll act, what's the response from wisdom?
The wisdom-based response, which is based on the principle of cause and effect karma, is very simple. It's act first and the proof will reveal itself. The proof is in the result of the action. Wholesome actions, again and again, lead to beneficial results. It might be a moment of clarity after you do just 2 minutes of breathing, or a feeling of relief after you finally have that honest conversation. When you observe that pattern directly in your own life, that's what builds the unshakable conviction you need to dissolve the paralysis.
So it's not about blind faith in some doctrine. It's about empirical observation of your own life, your own actions and their results. That makes the whole system so accessible, doesn't it? It doesn't matter what your background is.
It's self-verifying. That's the power of building that evidence archive for yourself.
Excellent. Okay, let's get really practical then. If we accept that action has to come before certainty, what are the actual tools we can use right now to break that stalemate when doubt starts creeping in? What's the very first thing you do?
The first step requires a bit of brutal honesty with yourself. You have to distinguish deliberation from delay. You've got to catch yourself in the act and ask, honestly, am I genuinely trying to figure this out? Or am I just using these questions to avoid the discomfort of committing? If you find you're just rehearsing the same few doubts day after day and there's no movement, that's postponement. You're mistaking an internal argument for external progress.
That's a great little diagnostic question to ask. So, okay, you catch yourself spinning. You've identified that it's a delay. What do you do in that moment to break the inertia?
You have to immediately choose one non-negotiable action. It needs to be small, achievable, and you do it without any debate. The RAF program gives the example of just 2 minutes of conscious breathing. Or maybe it's sending that one brief, honest message you've been putting off. Just committing to that one tiny thing, no matter how small, is what breaks the paralysis.
The genius in that is that it removes the pressure of the big picture. You're not committing to finishing the whole journey. You're just committing to the next 2 steps on the path.
Exactly. And this leads to something we could call the micro-movement protocol. So when that faulty compass is spinning during the day, maybe you're hesitating over a choice, you stop the internal debate right then and there. You don't wait to feel confident. You just perform one small values-based action that takes less than 2 minutes.
Could you give us an example of a micro-movement, but maybe outside of a meditation context?
Sure. Let's say you're overwhelmed by a huge project at work, and you've spent 3 days researching organizational systems instead of actually starting. The micro-movement isn't finish the project, it's name the very next physical task and do it. It might be as simple as opening the file, or reading the first paragraph, or scheduling a 5-minute meeting with someone. You are proving to your own system that direction reveals itself through the act of sailing, not before you set sail.
That's such a powerful intervention. It decouples the action from the feeling. The doubt can still be there, but you act anyway.
And every time you do that, you generate new evidence. And that evidence needs to be archived. You have to systematically build an evidence archive, keep a real record. It could be in your head or written down of these small successes. The wise choices, the moments the mind settled, the times you followed through despite the doubt.
Why is that archiving step so important?
Because the doubt, the paralysis, it feeds on a narrative of failure. It's the voice that says, I never finish anything, or I never make any real progress. But if you have this clear archive of small committed actions, yesterday I sat for 2 minutes, last week I had that difficult conversation, you have concrete real-world evidence to counter the story. You're cutting off the fuel supply for the doubt.
And finally, a step we've seen with all the hazards, something that really grounds the whole experience, savor the absence.
Yes. Usually when the doubt finally lifts, we just rush on to the next thing. We have to remember to pause, to really pay attention to the qualities that emerge in that moment of freedom. The relief, the steadiness, the clarity, that renewed sense of capacity. Reinforcing that feeling teaches your heart, through experience, that clarity is the mind's natural state. It's what's there when the paralysis is gone.
So to wrap up this deep dive on immobilizing doubt, this hazard is basically the force of paralysis. It turns careful thought into strategic avoidance. But the solution the RAF program offers is really profound. It's choosing action over argument, testing the path with small, committed movements and your own lived evidence.
Right. Your mind is protected from the gravitational pull of these destructive habits, not by having perfect knowledge ahead of time, but by committed movement. You use qualities you've developed, like confidence and discernment, to steady that spinning compass. The journey begins with that first small step.
And before we close, we want to remind you that the entire RAF to Freedom workbook, which contains this chapter and all 66 chapters of the program, is written by Dr. Catherine Jacob and Vince Cullen. And they are making this entire resource completely free online. You can find all the information and the full text at raft2freedom.org.
And we'd like to invite you to maybe sit with this reflection for a moment. When you look at your own hesitations, the things you've been putting off, which of them represent a genuine need for more information and which are really just strategic postponement, an evasion of responsibility?
We'll leave you with this potent piece of wisdom from Chapter 42 itself. The compass steadies not when every question is answered, But when the choice is made to move forward despite uncertainty, trusting that direction reveals itself through movement rather than prior to it.